when I came home, this is, I was about to come home, Christabel Pankhurst asked me if I would stay on as an organizer and be paid a little salary. They paid very tiny salaries, but be paid a little salary and give all my time to being one of their organizers. And she made the same offer to Lucy Burns,
mm-hmm.
same time. And Lucy Burns decided she would, and she did.
Mm.
And I decided I would still go home and try to finish up my academic work and take a degree. I thought that was perhaps the best thing to do, so I came home.
I see.
By myself. When I got home, the suffragists in this country asked me, of course, naturally they would, to go to their meetings. So I joined the one, and I went right back to the University of Pennsylvania and took a room in Philadelphia so I could go to classes all the time. We still didn't have any place for the graduate students, and there were no other women there. And they put me on the board of their Philadelphia committee.
This happened right away. Huh?
Yes. After I came back, and I remember when they made a speech, asked me to come in and speak to them and tell them about the English campaign. I remember the head of it, Miss Jane Campbell, was the president. And she said, you know, when we asked you, we didn't know who you were, or what sort of a person you were, or whether you were wild and, fanatical or what you might be, but we thought we'd ask you just because you were a figure and now in the minds of people. And so, and they said, so she said, now we see what sort of person you are and we'd like you to go on our committee. So they were very welcoming from the very beginning, even though I think they may thought we'd done well, rather extraordinary things. Mm-hmm. So then they formed a committee on, for the first time, on having street meetings in Philadelphia and uh-huh. trying to make this movement more better known. So I was made chairman of the meeting, of the street meeting committee.
Well, that sounds logically like it might have been your idea, bringing over the street meetings.
No, they were beginning them. They had started them in Boston and other places in this country before we got back. Just the natural thing that comes up
that
in all political campaigns when mm-hmm. you desperately want to get before the people, it's about all you can do. So I took the chairmanship of this, and in Miss Kaltenstein's book, I think she tells about the first street meeting that she organized and took me to where I spoke. I'm almost sure it's in her book, because it was the first time I met her, and when we started out on this meeting, it was when I went in to see the people in the Philadelphia office. And then she got something with her, some kind of a conveyance for me, and she went with me. And, and from that time on, we worked together. So then that summer, all summer, we had these street meetings.
Were you able to do...
I was, let me see. I think I didn't start in the University of Pennsylvania until the fall. And, but all this time I sort of got into the woman movement. And I was invited down to the National Convention of the National American Woman Suffrage Association in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it must have been in spring of 1912.
That was fall of 1910, I think. Fall of 1910 when you started back in then at the university.
I think so. Mm-hmm. And that's... But I got back here in January, and I didn't enroll in the university right away, but went to these different meetings, and among others, to one that was held in Washington, the first time I'd ever gone to Washington in my life, at one of the hotels, their convention, and I think it was 1912. Could have been 1912?
Let's see, you got your PhD in 1912.
No, this must have been early then.
Maybe this was that summer of 1911.
It was probably the spring of 1910, the year I came back. And I was just thinking that then it would have been 1910. I was thinking about the president, because Taft was the president of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And I presume he was president in 1910.
Yes, he was.
Well, Taft was a speaker at this convention.
Oh, I see.
And Dr. Anna Howard Shaw, I think, was the president, presiding officer. And they invited me just because I'd taken part in the English movement, and I guess they invited me to talk about that, I imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever they invited me to do, I tried to do. And then when came time for Taft to speak, before or after, I don't know whether where I came in the program, but Taft made them clear that he didn't think much of this voting for women. And all over the room, people began to hiss.
Oh.
And he was unperturbed, but they did. Nothing happened for the meeting, excepting I got to know some of the different leaders of the movement,
mm-hmm.
and continued to know them always because of that first meeting. But then I went, that was just one little, perhaps 1 week it took me down to Washington.
Any certain leaders that you'd want to mention?
I remember the women, but I won't say at this meeting, because maybe I didn't meet them at this meeting. But I could tell you later who the women were, I can remember. Well, then we went on holding, in the summer, to hold these street meetings. And let's see, this was in 1910. And I went back to the university, Emily, and then the autumn of 1910, and stayed through 1911 and 1912.
Mm-hmm.
1912, I think I took my degree in June, my doctor's degree.
Yeah.
Previous to that, I'd taken a master's degree. Whether it was the first year that I was back or whether it was the last year before I went, I'm not quite sure. And anyway, I know what my thesis was for my doctor. It was called Toward Equality, and the same title I had, I think, for my master's. And it was Toward Equality in the United States for equality for women in the United States.
Mm.
And the previous one, my master's, I think was toward equality for women in Pennsylvania.
I see.
So on the basis of the Pennsylvania one, I just enlarged it to take the country.
I see. Now, in this thesis,
one of the biggest things we did in our street meeting appeal, we had no opposition, but we didn't get much, I don't know, I wouldn't say very much assistance. There were just a few of us who did all the meetings. But we wound up by meeting in Independence Square, the biggest meeting. I guess it was the end of the summer of the first year, 1910. But it might have been a subsequent year.
Mm-hmm.
And we had little stands for speakers all over Independence Square because of the great traditions of Independence Square.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Inez Mulholland came down and spoke at this meeting, and we had all the most illustrious people we could get. It was absolutely, a thrilling meeting. Whole square was full of people.
Mm-hmm.
Had a great deal of publicity. I could look up when that occurred. It's probably somewhere I could find. But it was about September. It was 1 year. I don't remember which year.
It'll be probably in that book.
It might have been September of the year I came down to Washington. Perhaps it was, because that year they had the National Suffrage Convention.
Mm-hmm.
American Women's Suffrage Convention in Philadelphia. And the person in charge of getting it up was Mrs. Lawrence Lewis.
Okay.
And she asked me to help her, which I did. Because perhaps because of this big meeting, we just got up in
mm-hmm.
Independence Square, but anyway, she asked me to help her. So at that meeting, I went, I suppose as a delegate, I don't know about that, but anyway, I went to the meeting. And as a sort of assisted to Mrs. Lewis, helping her in any way I could. And that's when I was appointed to be the congressional chairman for the coming year, November 1912. The national congressional chairman to go to Washington, you know.
Yeah.
Lucy Burns and I were appointed, and the resolution was offered by Miss Jane Addams at the national board meeting. That we be appointed, and that we be given free sway and free hand in anything we want to do, excepting we're not to be allowed to send in a bill of any for anything that we spend, and not to charge anything to the national treasury, and not to spend even $1 that we didn't ourselves raise or give. That's the only condition they made. That was the treasurer, I suppose, who made all those conditions.
Now, on my notes, I have that you visited Lucy Burns at her Long Island home in the summer after your PhD was awarded.
Well, I know when I 1912. I don't know whether it was that summer, but anyway, I didn't. I thought it was later, but maybe it was that summer. But she came down and visited me at my little home out in Morristown.
Mm-hmm. Who, Lucy Burns?
Yes. It must have been in the summer of 1912, I guess, because we were considering what to do about whether we would undertake this work in Washington.
I see.
She came down and stayed with me a little while, and we discussed it, and thought we would offer to come down and do this in Washington.
I see.
Maybe they wouldn't accept it, but we would make an offer. And then I went up to visit her to talk about it further. Same meeting. I don't know which came first, whether she came to me first or I went there first, but we went. Anyway, we had conferences, at least those two.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the time of the convention, I don't know whether she went to the convention or not, but I know I did.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to the, I went at least, maybe she went too, to Miss Jane Addams to say we would like to offer to help in any way we could in the federal amendment campaign in Washington. And she said that Mrs. William Kent, who was then acting as congressional chairman, didn't want to continue or couldn't continue for some reason, and they wanted someone to be the congressional committee, and that she would offer our names, propose the resolution, which she did, which was adopted, with that one restriction.
I want to be sure I have this right. Did you and Lucy prefer to work on the congressional committee? Was this your idea?
Well, there was no other committee.
Oh.
Just as getting up the open door, there was only one committee for the open door meeting. There was only one committee for the congressional work. We didn't, I suppose, even know anything about it when we offered to go down and try to see if we could push it. And then we learned that there was Mrs. William Kent, wife of the congressman from California, who had been and who didn't feel able to continue, wanted someone to take her place. I guess we were told that by Miss Adams, but I couldn't be sure. And then anyway, she said that she would thought it would be a splendid thing for us to do, and she'd be delighted to back it and would make the offer the resolution, which she did.
And that's what I have, that Jane Addams brought it before the board, and it was approved. The names I have are that the committee would consist of Alice Paul, Lucy Burns, Crystal Eastman, Max Eastman's sister, and then I have later Mrs. Lawrence Lewis.
Well, as far as I know, only that may be if some there's some record that Lucy, that Crystal Eastman was on. I don't remember that. Crystal Eastman was a friend, personal friend of Lucy Burns, and I didn't know her. They'd been ambassador together. And it was my impression that after we got down there and began to see all the work that was needed and felt we had to have more people, that she asked Lucy Burns, we asked her to get, I mean asked Crystal Eastman to come down and join us, which she did. Maybe she was already appointed, I didn't know that, didn't remember.
Well, no, my notes may be wrong, because I think I got a lot of these notes from the history of the Women's Party by Irwin. So you see this,
well, it might be true about, anyway, she was, from the very beginning, worked with us, I didn't think she did in the very beginning. I thought she came later. I went down alone on December 7th, 1912, after I was appointed. And I spent that Christmas in Washington getting ready for the opening of our little headquarters. And Mrs. William Kent asked me to have Christmas dinner with them, I remember so well. Mm. And she was the most stalwart and wonderful aide that anybody could ever want. My predecessor, extra, 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 extra wonderful.
Mm.
And Lucy Burns came down, I imagine about the middle of January. But anyway, she didn't come down for quite a little while. And I went into a little friend's boarding house on I Street in Washington, right next to the Quaker Meeting House. And everybody there, I guess, was a Quaker, was some way connected with them. And I remember I had one little third floor room.
Hmm.
And no headquarters, of course, and no office, and nothing. And that's, I told you, that's when we got the Susan B. Anthony desk. I think I told you about that, didn't I?
Oh, you told me, yes, but now you have to tell it again. How did you get the headquarters?
Well, they gave me a list of women's names in New York before I went. The New York people did their headquarters before I went down. And they said, these are all Washington members and officers and supporters. And so I started out first thing. First thing, I went to this little friend's boarding house,
mm-hmm.
which I think was the place I went when I first went down to this convention that I'd gone to when Taft was speaker. I learned about it anyway. It was in the Friends Intelligencer. That's the Quaker paper, always advertised, so I knew about it, and I went there. And so then I started from there, with no headquarters, to go through the whole long list that they'd given me of maybe 40 or 50 names, to ask each person if she would join in with this effort we were going to make to take up again Susan B. Anthony's work in a vigorous form to really get the amendment through Congress. Because Mrs. Kent and I don't know who was there before, but ever since the death of Miss Anthony, the National Board had put all its effort in the state referendum campaigns and had regarded the Washington work as something that had to be continued to the extent of having a speech made in Congress or something like that, and having the congressional record contain the speech sent over the country, but it was all secondary to the state campaign. So, when I went to these women, I didn't go to Mrs. Kent right away, but I just began on the list, maybe alphabetically as they gave it to me, I don't remember. But I found one person after another had died. And then I found one after another and moved away and nobody knew their present address. So it narrowed down to not having so many left to see.
My goodness, it must have been an old list.
And but it showed how feeble was the movement there, anyway.
Yeah.
And then among others, went to Miss Emma Gillette, who is the dean and one of the founders of the Washington College of Law, which had been started as a college to enable women to study law, because at that time there was almost no place in the country you could be admitted as a student. And Miss Gillette, when she wanted to be, she came from Pennsylvania, and when she wanted to study law, she came to Washington thinking it was a law school here, and it was the Negro Howard University. And that was the only place in the country she could find that would take her in, so she went to Howard University and graduated there. And then when she graduated, she joined forces with Mrs. Ellen Spencer Mussey, who was the wife of a Washington lawyer, and who had studied law herself in her husband's law office and passed the bar examination to become a lawyer. So there were two women lawyers in Washington, as far as I know. One was Miss Gillette, and one was Mrs. Mussey. And they had set up this little Washington College of Law in order that women would have a chance.
Hi. Am I too early?
Oh, no.
I'll put the groceries in here.
Oh, lovely.
Okay. Right.
Do you want to go and help her a minute?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'll remember.
All right.
40 or 50 people, and everybody was there.
Oh,
almost
yes.
Almost everybody had died or moved away.
And you were telling about
and
Ellen
I,
Spencer.
I was Ellen Jeanette, first person I met who was friendly and interested and still living. And she was, my goodness, such a wonderful woman. So she'd been with Miss Emma, with Miss Ellen Guthrie, but with Ellen Spencer Mussey. She had founded this Washington College of Law, where I took my first law degree, and founded in order that women might have a place to study law.
Did you say where you'd taken your first law degree?
Yes, I took it there.
Oh.
After I got to know her, long years after. I didn't dream of taking a law degree then. So I met Miss Gillette, and she had a little law office and real estate office in the basement of an office building between what is now the Willard Hotel and the Washington Hotel on F Street in Washington. You know Washington well enough to know where
yes.
that is?
Yes.
So I went to see her in this little basement office, and she was enthusiastic about helping. So I told her that we probably would get up a procession in Washington. We would try to the day before Wilson came. This was our vague plan.
Mm-hmm.
And if we did, would she be our treasurer? And she said she'd be very happy to. So she then said, now why don't you go in next door? And there's an office in the basement, just like mine, one long room, very simple, unpretentious. Mm-hmm. And I know it's for rent, the people have moved out. And I said, oh no, we couldn't think of it. I know we could never afford a great big place like this. She said, well, just go in and try, and I think they will be glad to have you and will put a price you can pay. So I did go in, and they said they would rent it to us for $60 a month. So I said, well, then we will see if we can raise $60 a month, and if we can, we will take it.